Because we as Christians think about God almost all of the time, we might come to think that others do the same thing. And guess what? That is not the case at all. You know why? I was going to make a statement about that a while ago. You know why he did that, don't you? He got to see me too good. He said, man, that is ugly. Turn them lights off. Oh, boy. I do appreciate him turning it off. It helps even me. Those lights are bright. Folks, it's not the case that individuals in our world think about God. In fact, there are some, believe it or not, who seldom, if ever, think about that. Seldom, if ever, think about the Almighty God. That's hard to believe, isn't it? As I was thinking about this lesson, my thought was this. There are many, many people who need a deeper understanding of God, don't they? Now, what's interesting is this. It isn't that they are atheists. If you were to go to many of our neighbors and if you were to ask them, do you believe God exists? Almost every one of them would say, oh yes, I believe that there is a God. Folks, the atheists are not in the majority in our religion. That's not the problem. The problem is this. The problem is that they don't truly understand God. They've never studied God. They've never contemplated God. They've never come to any conclusions about God. And therefore, they have no appreciation for Him whatsoever. That's always been the case. Job was probably the first book of the Bible ever written. And Job lived in the days of patriarchy. He was the priest of his family, wasn't he? And during the days of Job, this statement is made. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. There we are, isn't it? It doesn't say that they don't believe in God. In fact, they talk to God, don't they? And they tell God, depart from us. We don't have any desire for the knowledge of your ways. They didn't see any benefit in God. Notice those next two statements. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Those individuals didn't see any benefit to having God in their lives. And that's where many individuals are today. Yes, God exists. He's out there. But guess what? He's of no benefit to me whatsoever. Hard for us to contemplate, isn't it? There were others in the days of Jeremiah who had similar thinking. For my people is foolish and have not known me. They are what? Sottish children. But wouldn't that wake up your kid one day? You just look at him and say, you a sottish kid. That'd make you go look up a dictionary, wouldn't it? Notice what they say. And have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That's our world, isn't it? They don't really know God. They don't really desire to know God. And those individuals, they are wise to do evil. But to do good, they have absolutely no knowledge and understanding whatsoever. My friends, our world needs a deeper understanding of God. When I thought about this particular theme, I thought of about eight lessons that need to be preached relative to God. And the first one that came to my mind was this, God the Creator. God the Creator, and that's the title of this morning's lesson. Point number one, the manifesto of creation. What in the world is a manifesto? A manifesto, very simply, is this, a public proclamation of something. As Christians, you and I have a manifesto of creation. We have something that proclaims the creation, do we not? And that is nothing more than the precious Word of the living God. I want you to think about something. The Bible was revealed by God, wasn't it? It's His Word. Here's what's interesting. He is the only one who knows the truth about creation. He's the only one. You see, He was the only one there when it happened. We got a bunch of people who think they're smart. They have degrees. They like to be called doctor. They like to attach PhD after their name. And they deny God. And they tell us that creation was a big bang that happened 8 billion years ago. Have you ever stopped to contemplate how long ago 8 billion years is? Now here are people who are 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old telling us that they live 8 billion years away from when this thing happened, and they know everything that went on back there. Wrong. They don't know nothing, do they? But guess what? God knows what went on. God was there when the creation took place, didn't it? What's interesting is this. The Bible doesn't begin with the proofs of God's existence. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't have a couple of chapters that gives us a list of proofs so that we know God exists. You want to know where the Bible starts? The Bible starts with creation, does it not? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God knows I don't have to prove myself to anybody. The proof is already here, isn't it? It's already here. When I was studying this lesson, I have a program known as eSword, and one of the sections has cross references. So I looked up all the cross references of Genesis 1:1, and there were 56 cross references. 56 other passages of Scripture that talk about God and the creation. Isn't that unbelievable? We got a lot to read, don't we? No, we're not going to read all of that. For in 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Beautiful statement, isn't it? Notice what David says in Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and hast what? And the heavens are the work of thine hands. Nehemiah on one occasion praised God. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, and notice what he says. Thou, even thou, O Lord, alone, thou hast made the heaven, the heavens of heavens, and the host of them, the earth and all that is therein, the sea and all that is therein. Wow. The Apostle Paul stood atop Mars Hill, preaching to those Greek philosophers, and notice what he says. God that made the world and all that is therein. Notice how he describes God. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. Go home tonight. Type in that phrase, the Lord of heaven and earth. It is used over and over and over and over again in Scripture. God is the sovereign one. God is the ruler over all. God is the creator of all the earth, the heaven and the earth. There is no greater than God. We have a manifesto, my friends. It's the pages of the good book that proclaim to us the creation. And it was all done by who? It was all done by God. He's the creator. Point number two. The might of the creation. When you go back to before the worlds were created, this sphere in which you and I live did not exist. There was no time. There was no matter. And there was no space. Can you imagine that? I can't. I've always lived in a time-space-matter continuum, haven't you? I was born into that. There was a time when none of that existed. There was just two. There was just God. Go home and let that sink in for a while. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And out of absolutely nothing, God brought everything into existence. I'm going to let you go home with a fancy word today. Some people refer to that as creation ex nihilo. There you go. What'd y'all learn at church today? Oh, God created ex nihilo. Well, where'd you go to church? That little word ex nihilo just means what? Out of nothing. Out of nothing. Can you comprehend that? Our minds can acknowledge it, can't we? Because the Bible teaches that. God created everything out of nothing. I can say that, but can I in my mind comprehend a being who can do that? Oh, Sandy back there is pretty good with his hands. And what if I called him up and I said, Sandy, I want you to come up to the front. And I've got a box up here. And in that box is what you need to build me a beautiful bookshelf in my office. So he comes down. He lifts the lid on that box, and there's nothing in there. Nothing. What's he going to do? Where's the stuff? It's all in there that you need. Well, there's nothing here. That's what I told you. Everything's in there that you need. No, we can't think like that, can we? I need wood, I need tools, I need nails, I need all kinds of stuff to build you that stuff. We can't comprehend building something out of absolutely nothing, but God can do that. God could close the lid on that box and immediately call a beautiful bookshelf into being if He so desires. The power of God, isn't it? All God has to do is speak the word. And things come into existence. And the Bible talks about that over and over again. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. Look at verse 9. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Unbelievable. Psalm 145, verse 5 says this. Let them praise Thy name, or the name of the Lord. Why? For He commanded, and they were created. All God has to do is say the word, and things come into existence. The power of creation. There's 4 points that I want to make. Subpoints, I should say. The first one is this. The immediacy of the creation. Let's assume for a moment that Sandy came up, he opened the box, and all the wood, all the tools, everything was there to build me a beautiful bookcase. I said, how long is it going to take? Oh, about a week. A week? Are you kidding me? A week? Yeah, this stuff takes time. Not with God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Go home and try to do that. Don't turn on the light switch. That don't count. The immediacy of the creation, folks. The very moment God wants it, guess what? It immediately occurs, does it not? Watch this. The diversity of the creation. And all we have to do is look in Genesis 1 for that diversity, don't we? Light, the land, the sea, all the plants that God put here on this earth, the host of heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fish, the fowl, all the animal kingdom, man. It is an unbelievable diversity of things that were created, not just a bookcase, was it? How about this next one? The complexity of the creation. I want you to look at this. Scientists right now believe that 2 trillion galaxies exist. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. There's 2 trillion of them out there. One man said this, and there may be more. Are you kidding? How about this? There are 11 major systems that make up the human body. 11. Not 11 parts. 11 systems. And every one of those systems come together and work perfectly so that you and I can live on this earth. It's unbelievable. 86 billion, that's with a B, billion neurons make up your brain. I realize some are a little short of that. That's unbelievable, isn't it? 86 billion neurons. Folks, these are electrical gaps that are found within our brain. 86 billion of them. Pretty complex, isn't it? How about this next one? There are 9,800 species of birds in the world. Just birds. Let's learn birds. We're going to learn one a day. Just one a day. And we'll finish that study 30 years from now. And you thought I went slow in Bible study. 30 years and we finally learn about all the birds. If we learn one a day, who created all this, folks? God did. The complexity of the creation. How about this? The vastness of the creation. Have you ever really stopped to think about how vast the creation was? I want you to listen to this. New Horizons was a space vehicle that was launched on January 19th, 2006. It was designed to go all the way to Pluto. I call that a planet. They don't call it that anymore. I was taught that in school. Pluto was the 9th planet. It's called a dwarf planet now. It reached Pluto July 14th, 2015. 9 years, 5 months, 25 days it took to get from Earth to Pluto. And that thing was traveling at unbelievable speeds. Do you know that? I mean, unbelievable speeds. 36, 45,000 miles an hour moving through this solar system. And it took 9 years to get to the dwarf planet. We haven't even begun to get out of the Milky Way galaxy, folks. It's unbelievable. A while ago I told you there's 2 trillion galaxies. Notice this. The universe is 93 billion light years in diameter. That's 547 with 21 zeros attached to it, miles across. I don't even know how to say that word. It's humongous, isn't it? Why is it so big? How about this? Mount Everest, pretty tall mountain, isn't it? The highest point of elevation on the earth today. 29,031 feet, 8.5 inches. That's a tall mountain, folks. Doesn't hold a candle to the deepest part of this sea. The deepest part of the sea is the Mariana Trench. 36,037 feet deep. 66,000 feet from the bottom of the ocean to the top of Mount Everest. 66,000 feet. We're talking about the vastness of God's creation, are we not? We're talking about the power of God's creation. The moment God spoke, the words into existence. Things came into existence. Unbelievable. Point number three, the marvels of God's creation. How about this? The design of our world. I found this quote. Not only are we perfectly placed between sun and moon, we are the only planet with liquid water, a breathable atmosphere, a sun perfectly sized to provide just the right amount of energy, and a moon perfectly sized to control the tides, keeping our land dry and our oceans sustainable. Sun, moon, air, liquid, just perfect for the earth. Now you might say, that's not a big deal. Look at this next point. There are 1 trillion planets just in the Milky Way galaxy. And guess what? There's not another one of them that can sustain life. Not one. Earth is the only planet in the entirety of our galaxy that can sustain life. It's unbelievable. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says this, God created the earth, listen to Him, to be inhabited. Out of all God created, He said, I'm going to put man right here. And He made it just perfect for us to live. The design of creation. How about the diversity of creation? 2.16 million species of animals on the earth. 2.16 million species. Those are the big families, right? There's a bunch of little things underneath. Watch this. 1.05 million species of insects. Oh boy. 36,000 species of fish, 11,000 species of birds, 11,000 species of reptiles, 6,000 species of mammals. Unbelievable. We're talking about the diversity of creation. Watch this next one. 15,000 different cultures of men on the earth, and you think you're important. My culture. There's 15,000 cultures, guys. That is unbelievable, is it not? All the diversity created by our God. It shows the might of His creation. Here's what I love, the beauty of creation. There's some weird stuff out there, isn't there? But there's some beautiful stuff. Right there's a picture of the Great Barrier Reef located out in the Pacific Ocean. I'd love to go out there and do a little snorkeling and diving, wouldn't you? I don't know. There's some scary stuff out there. Or how about this one? Know what that is? That's a duck. That's the Mandarin duck. It's about the prettiest duck I've ever seen, isn't it, you? Beats them old white ones all over the place. There's a bunch of you who have gone out west, and you've stood right about here, haven't you? And you've looked out over the beauty of the Grand Canyon, and it literally takes your breath away. If you've never been there, you can't imagine. You look at it and you say, yeah, that's pretty big. When you stand there before it, you go, unbelievable. You know it? You ever seen this little fella? He's a little insect. He's called the Brazilian treehopper. And he's got the solar system sitting on his head. At least that's what it looks like, little planets revolving around his head. Craziest thing. Why'd God make that thing? How about that? Cherry blossom trees sitting at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro in Japan. You don't have to go that far to see them. Just go to Washington, D.C. and watch them bud in the springtime. Because God made this world beautiful, did He not? Even things that you and I will never see. I'll never see a tree hopper for real. Why did God make all this stuff? To manifest His power to the world. You think all this stuff just evolved from nothing? Unbelievable. What about us? Are we not a marvel of creation? David, before all the modern technology, looked at his body and he says this, I am wonderfully and fearfully made, therefore I will praise thee, he says. Are we that great? Oh yeah, just our minds are great, aren't they? I can think, I can reason, I can feel, I can will, I can plan, I can come to conclusions, I can remember, all because I have a what? A brain. You ever really thought about your body? 206 bones, 600 muscles, 6,000 miles of veins, blood vessels running through your body. Little peep squeak like me, 60,000 miles of veins. 60,000, guys. Go on a trip that long. See how long it takes you? How many cells do I have? I got 30 trillion cells in my body. 30 trillion cells. Scientists have identified 27 dominant emotions that man possesses. And what about our conscience? A conscience is a feeling that originates in our mind that either approves when I do right, condemns when I do bad, that is based upon the training that I receive through the course of my life. Where did it come from? Man, a marvel of creation. We just got started. You know that? We can sit here the rest of the day talking about animals, talking about birds, talking about fish, talking about insects, talking about reptiles, talking about all the plants that are in our world. When you and I honestly consider the creation, it is a marvel beyond unbelief. You know that? What's its mission? Why is the creation here? 3 points. Number one, to provide for us. Isn't that wonderful? God gave the creation for me and you as human beings. Genesis 1 verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. He also said, I've given you the trees. And listen to how He ends. So that you may have what? Food to eat. That's what He says, isn't it? It shall be to you for meat, He says. Second reason it was given. To challenge us. To challenge us. Genesis 1 verse 28. Lord says this, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and what? And subdue it. Go look up the little word subdue. You know what it means? To conquer, to overcome, to put in subjection, to put in submission, to make it your slave. Folks, listen to me. Man is not the slave of the earth. The earth is the slave of man. God gave this earth to bless us. That's why it was given. Point number three, to prove that God exists. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. Paul writes in Romans 1, verse 20, for the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What does Paul say? You look at the world and you can see the invisible. It proves the existence of God. How about the writer of Hebrews? For every house is builted by some man, but he that built all things is who? Is God. Isn't it funny how we can look at a house and know that there was a builder, and people can't look at the universe and know there's a God? Something's wrong with us. We just plumb dumb. aren't we? Why did God give this earth to us? To feed us, take care of us, to challenge us, give us something to do, subdue the earth, and to prove that there is a God. And yet we still have what? We still have mockers, don't we? We still have individuals who doubt whether there is a God or not. They fall in all kinds of categories. Evolutionists, humanists, atheists, infidels, agnostics, and on the list goes. They're supposed to be smart people, but they're not very smart, are they? They will boldly affirm that nothing in the earth, nothing in our galaxy, nothing in the entirety of the universe proves there's a God. That's a bold statement, isn't it? One man made this statement. Can you be everywhere? I can't be everywhere. He went on to say this. The one place you can't be may be where God is. It's pretty good, isn't it? How about this one? They strenuously fight against a God they say doesn't exist. Now that's about as dumb as you can get. If he doesn't exist, why fight him? You're fighting a foolish battle, are you not? You're fighting an adversary that doesn't even exist. It's crazy. If I could get young people to understand something, it would be these next points. Folks, they adhere to beliefs that are utter nonsense. You know that? Utter nonsense. Like this. Matter is eternal. If there were ever a time when nothing existed, nothing would exist. Nothing times nothing equals nothing. Very good. Somebody went to school. Nothing times nothing equals nothing. So there had to be a time, if something exists, there had to be a time when something existed. We say God has always existed. The evolutionist has to say matter has always existed. It's eternal. In their plan. Here's the problem. They believe life came from non-life. Matter's just dead matter, isn't it? I believe a living God created everything, not the evolutionists. They believe that dead matter created life. That's not even scientifically factual. Or this one. Given enough time, anything can happen. That ain't true. If you put a rock right here, and everything stays exactly the way it's supposed to, I can come back 1 billion years from now, and guess what that's going to be? It's going to be a rock. Given enough time, though, they say anything can happen. Unbelievable. They believe design and order come from an explosion. I want you to go home, buy you some M80s, buy you some firecrackers, and just start blowing up stuff around your house. Now, boys, I don't want them boys to take that serious. Get in trouble with their mom. But you could explode everything in your house, and guess what? There wouldn't be one thing left that's of design and order. And yet we're told that a huge explosion 8 billion years ago produced everything that exists today. It's crazy, isn't it? The hoaxes of evolution. They say they have all these missing links between ape and man, don't they? And every one of them is a hoax. Every one of them is a lie. And yet they still promote them. They're still in many of our libraries today, many of our museums today. The evolutionist tells us that there were enough good mutations to produce what exists on Earth today. Here's the first problem. There are no good mutations. Well, occasionally one happens, but only what? Occasionally. That's why they need 8 billion years to try to get enough mutations so that we can have what exists today. We talked about the conscience a while ago. You do something bad, your conscience bothers you, right? You do something good, your conscience approves of your actions and you feel wonderful. There's not another creature on all the face of the earth that has a conscience. Not another creature. Where did it come from? David was right. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If one word could be chosen to sum up a quality of God expressed by the creation, it would be this: power. Wouldn't it? Power. Anytime you think you want to deal with God, look at the creation. You do not want to deal with the power of God. If there were one other word I could choose, it would be this: existence. Existence. What do you mean, Vic? The existence of all things is proof beyond measure of the existence of God. Isn't that what Paul said? And Paul says, when man stands before God in the last day, if he's an atheist, one who doesn't believe in God, one doesn't acknowledge God, he'll be counted a fool. Because the creation says you have no excuse. My friends, there is a God, isn't there? And He's a wonderful God. And thankfully, He loves us, doesn't He? Loved us enough for Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. And all He asks of us is to serve Him, isn't it? Just do My will, and I'll take you home to glory in the hereafter forever and ever and ever. Are you not a Christian? You need to be. The steps are simple. Hear the truth, believe in the Christ, repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian, can you honestly say that this God about whom we spoke this morning is truly the ruler of your life? He's the one who has total, absolute authority of all that you do. Maybe we need to resubmit ourselves to His will. Because one of these days, He will be the being with whom we have to do. My friends, do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?